GA gets a black eye in North Carolina, JetBlue will continue to have a non-union workforce, and that mini AHARs you saw at Oshkosh will ship September 15th. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 18th, 2011. The story of a plane stolen from the campus of the University of North Carolina is being portrayed by local media as an example of how general aviation lacks the TSA security mandates that keep airlines safe. WRAL-TV in Raleigh reports a man was able to steal a Piper Saratoga turbo Monday night or Tuesday morning from Horace Williams Airport in Chapel Hill, in part because the airport is not staffed between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. Officials first knew something was wrong when the ELT went off. The plane was found crashed in a wooded area off Wildlife Club Road near State Highway 87 just after noon on Tuesday. Sheriff Terry Johnson says canine teams tracked the suspect's scent out of the woods, but then lost it. There was blood in the plane, suggesting the thief was injured in the crash. Businessman Larry Warren, the owner of the plane, told WRAL he parked it about 9 p.m. Monday after last flying it. He checked the wreckage after it was found and figured out a few things about the perpetrator. Quote, "I record the hours when I get in and when I get out of it, and it looked like he had flown for 1.9 hours somewhere. I don't know if he was flying around or if he went somewhere and was coming back," unquote. Warren adds that he suspects the thief simply didn't know enough about the plane to operate the fuel tank selector, because only one of the tanks had been run dry. WRAL talked with aviation attorney James Krause, who said the lightweight doors and windows and lack of heavy locks on planes make them easy targets. Quote, "The aircraft itself is ripe for being broken into. Aircraft are not made to be secure. They're meant to fly in the air," unquote. He called security at Horace Williams the norm for small GA airports. UNC officials say the airport is included in their security patrols and that this is the first time a plane has been stolen there, but they do admit that pedestrians have access to the apron at any time. The news story did make mention of AOPA's airport watch program. As of Wednesday, officials had issued a warrant for the arrest of 46-year-old Curtis Renee Mellett of Chapel Hill, although he had yet to be found. JetBlue Airways Corporation is no doubt the envy of its competitors today. For the second time in 2 years, the airline's pilots have rejected union representation by the Airline Pilots Association in a vote which concluded on Tuesday. Of the 2,050 pilots who voted, JetBlue says 1,193 of them, or 58%, rejected the ALPA. 41% voted in favor of the union, while there were 23 write-ins preferring other unions. JetBlue attributes the outcome to its system of individual pilot contracts, which automatically renew, and its record of never furloughing pilots or cutting their pay. The company has worked to convince its employees that direct collaboration produces better results than union contracts applied to an entire workforce. JetBlue CEO Dave Barger commented, quote, "I would like to thank all JetBlue pilots for their thoughtful consideration of the issues in this campaign and for electing to retain and expand their direct relationship with the company. Now that the election is concluded, I look forward to getting back to the business of truly reinventing the traditional airline management labor relationship as only JetBlue can," unquote. ALPA released a statement saying it recognizes the decision and respects the democratic process. One of the more amazing bits of technology at Oshkosh was the coming availability of a small, 5-ounce attitude and heading reference system, or AHARS, for mobile devices, which would allow the latest version of Hilton Software's WingX to attain not only the full functionality of a traditional six-pack of aviation instruments, but even add synthetic vision when running on Apple's iPad. Level Technology Group now reports its mini AHARS product will start shipping September 15th in 2 versions. The basic model retails for $795, while a more capable version which allows connection to a pedostatic system is $995. Company founder Ruben Leon explains, quote, "The capabilities of today's navigation software for portable devices are simply unbelievable, yet none of them could provide reliable attitude information on the iPad. We wanted to create a low-profile, lightweight, and independent AHARS that would essentially complete the package and provide an additional layer of safety to every pilot," unquote. AHARS G Mini features an internal battery that lasts over 8 hours and can be recharged through the mini USB port or automatically when hardwired to the aircraft's electrical system. Ruben Leon is an experimenter well known in EAA circles for his early work in glass cockpits, and he brought the first twin cozy to make an appearance at AirVenture in 1999. Level Technology manufactures high-end benchtop CNC milling machines in the U.S. Still ahead, Boeing says the Dreamliner is ready to be certified. A California air show is pretending nothing is wrong. And if there's a sequel, was the original really the last time? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 18th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing says it wrapped up the last test flight of the 787 Dreamliner's certification program on Saturday. And now it's up to the FAA to clear the way for the first customer deliveries to begin next month. Captain Mike Carricker, chief pilot for the 787 program, brought aircraft ZA-102 back to its home base at Payne Field in Everett, Washington, at 1:58 p.m. Pacific Time Saturday, at the end of a 90-minute flight that originated in Billings, Montana. During the flight, the 14-person crew completed simulations of a dispatch with a failed generator and failed fuel flow indication. It's still not clear what will happen this weekend at the Wings Over Camarillo Air Show in California. As of our deadline, the show is still promoting the so-called Ultimate Air Race Championship at the top of its homepage, despite the failure of UARC to get its plan approved by the FAA and the failure of some participating pilots to demonstrate aerobatic competency. But the air show still claims, quote, home-built experimental airplanes flying a slalom course, all jockeying for position at the same time, makes this edge-of-your-seat excitement, like NASCAR with airplanes, unquote. The FAA, as one might imagine, is not a big fan of paint-swapping thrills around large crowds. The qualifications of the pilots also appear to be exaggerated in the promotional hype, and if the organization's recent event in China is any indication, the intent is not actual racing but a choreographed performance. So UARC is like NASCAR in the same sense that WWE is like the Olympics. Find more details in the text version of this story, dated August 17th, at aero-news.net. The Civil Aviation Administration of China and non-government sources are now reporting more of China's airspace appears about to open to non-military aviation. The military has proposed to open a mix of low-altitude airspace, with requirements ranging from no flight plan at all to a flight plan with prior government approval. Jason Lau, NBAA's chief representative in Asia, calls it big news for general aviation. Quote, it almost certainly means China will become the second largest market in the world for GA aircraft, like helicopters and turboprops, unquote. NASA reports Terrence Wilcutt has been appointed the agency's chief of safety and mission assurance, effective September 1st. Wilcutt is a retired Marine colonel and veteran astronaut who's serving as director of safety and mission assurance at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston. He'll assume the post from Brian O'Connor, who will retire from the agency August 31st. Doug Cook, who worked for nearly 38 years in NASA's Space Shuttle, International Space Station, and Exploration Systems programs, will retire from the agency effective October 3rd. Cook most recently served as NASA's Associate Administrator for the Exploration Systems Mission Directorate, which is responsible for developing capabilities for sending humans deeper into space. Between now and October 3rd, Cook will serve as Deputy Associate Administrator for the agency's new Human Exploration and Operations Mission Directorate. And finally today, 2010's great reunion of DC-3 and C-47 aircraft and crews was dubbed The Last Time, and there's little doubt the event, which commemorated the type's 75th anniversary, will be the last time such a large gathering of those planes takes place. But DC-3 fanatic and airline pilot Dan Greider, who spearheaded the Last Time reunion, doesn't want it to be the last time the Whiteside County Airport in Rock Falls, Illinois, hosts a major gathering of vintage aircraft. Greider tells the Sauk Valley newspapers he envisions a World War II-themed aviation event in July 2012 with, quote, 12 to 15 DC-3s, several B-17s and B-25s, numerous P-51s, and a smattering of flying aircraft. There will be a static display and aircraft will fly a tremendous amount during the day, We can expand based on the experience we gained in the last production. I would like to see it 20% larger in terms of aircraft and visitors, unquote. As part of his pitch at tonight's meeting of the Whiteside County Airport Board, Grider will note that the last time broke even financially on its cost of $42,000. Quote, "We raised 42 and we spent 42. Look at what we did and it didn't cost anything," unquote. David Murray, an attorney for the airport board, predicts a warm reception. Quote, "We had so much great publicity and so many people expressed gratitude for jobs. Pilots themselves and crew members wrote back. Several national articles were published. They gave tremendous credit to airport volunteers and the great reception that we gave to all the participants. This is going to be exciting if we can duplicate it again. I'm pretty excited. I know the board will be too," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.